Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight and your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Lord, I pray tonight that you will illuminate our minds and help transform our thinking about what we have made idols in our lives. So Lord, we know that first and foremost, you need to be the primary focus of our attention. And so if there's anything else that has been distracting us, Lord, we pray that you help us to acknowledge what that is and turn from it and turn to you, and that we let go of the things of this world and we cling to the things that are eternal. So Lord, help us in our efforts to do that tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So the birthday question was kind of funny. I mean, it was nice to see what a lot of you guys wanted for your birthday. Let me ask you this question. What's one thing that you really wished you owned right now? Calissa. A Justin Bieber tapestry? Wait a second. Did I hear that right? Okay. So anyone that has a Justin Bieber tapestry, at the end of this lesson, you're going to be challenged to give some stuff away. And so that would be a great recipient of, yeah. Katie would like a dog. Okay. Yes, Brooke. Brooke would like her own bedroom. Okay. What else? Takesha. A bigger bedroom. Okay. A bigger bedroom. Anything else? A cat? A baby cat or an older cat? Baby cat. They grow into older cats and then become angry. I would advise against cats. Just kidding. You want a big truck? Okay. Carter, what do you want right now? Shoes? Running shoes? Yeah, me too. Travis? Money. That's like a genie asking for more wishes or something, right? Like, I want money. Can I buy more stuff? All right, so right now, this has been a good passage for me to study because even as a pastor, even as an adult, which I love Heather and Dan being here and Truett and Blake and Joel, I love you guys being here throughout the summer. It is great. All of you students, get to know them. They love you. They're here to pour into your lives, you know, on Sunday nights and outside of Sunday nights, and they are absolutely vital to this ministry and walking you through your high school years. And so I'm very grateful for all of them, but I would say probably each of them probably have something in their mind right now. They're like, I'd really like to have that. For me, okay, I'm going to tell you what I really want. I have been wasting a lot of time researching mountain bikes. Okay, mountain bikes. Yeah, I never had a mountain bike growing up as a kid. I went like from a little BMX bike to like then I went into track and cross country and I just forgot like that bikes were a thing. Until a couple years ago, I got a road bike. And so I'm really into road biking right now, which is kind of fun. I actually ride to and from work each day that I don't have meetings with you guys. But I want a mountain bike. Because mountain bikes, you can go off-road. I've got a brother-in-law who does like actually races professionally. And I know I can't do that, but because that's dangerous. But I really want a mountain bike. And those cost a lot of money. Some of you guys might know this, though, too. This might be a story for later in the lesson. But when I wanted to get into road biking, those bikes also cost a lot of money, too. And I really wanted one, and I was trying to figure out how I was going to actually pay this money for this bike. Do you know what I ended up doing? How many of you guys know this story? Back during COVID, they were giving $700 for people to donate plasma. So have you guys heard of like the little kid plasma cars? I have a plasma bike. So I donated plasma for a couple months to get a road bike, but now they don't do that anymore. So every time, let me talk about the things that you guys want, from cars to clothes to money. Every time you get online or you watch a show or you drive down the street, you see, what do we see? Ads, right? Sometimes you're like, I just want to listen to a song and I don't want to pay the subscription service, and you're trying to get through the ads, right? Skip ads, right? Nearly 100% of the time, those ads are for things that you definitely don't need, but you still totally want. Sorry, I just spit. But for some people, especially today, wanting more or newer or better stuff is an epidemic. So I want to show you this first slide. If you'll put that up for me, Seth. How many of you guys know what this is? It's a storage unit. Okay? Now, let me just preface this with saying that storage units in and of themselves are not sinful. They are not, I'm trying to make a point here, so bear with me. So, this is a storage container. Oh, this thing is going to annoy me, isn't it? All right, maybe I'm going to go to this mic. Can you just turn this guy on and then turn my other one off? Okay. Anyway, I was trying to think, what commercial was that? What was that? Twix. Oh, that too. Yeah, it is that song. All right. Man, this recording, if anyone ever listens to it, they're like, that guy's a basket case. All right, so storage containers, right? They're everywhere. Everywhere, right? If you ever run out of room in your house to store all your stuff, you could rent one of those to house all of the things that don't fit inside the walls of your home. So how many of you guys have ever seen the show Storage Wars? Right? You know that people can pack a ton of junk inside of those containers. Again, like I said, storage units are not inherently sinful by any means. People use them for business purposes. You have to use them when you move. There are lots of good reasons for them. But there's also a ton of bad reasons to have storage units. So what's slide two, the next slide, say? It says storage unit, but there we go, 2,400. Can anybody guess what that number is? Okay, that's a good guess. He said, how many storage units are opened a year? Opening a year? What do you think, Carter? Oh, that's a good guess. That would be a big storage unit. That's like the size of my house. Yeah, what do you think, Calissa? Okay, amount of money maybe spent. Katie? Ooh, that's a good guess, but no, that's not. Okay, I'll just tell you, because you'll never actually guess. Travis. Okay, yes. So intuitive. 2,400. Across the continent of Europe, if you were to add up all of the different storage container facilities, so not just storage units, but the actual facilities that house people's junk, okay, you'd get 2,400. 2,400 storage unit facilities are being used to house people's extra stuff, and that's a lot. If you were to try to count to 2,400, it would probably take you about 40 minutes to get there, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It would take you a long time. Okay, so any guesses how many storage containers are in the United States? Ooh, that's a good guess. We have a 15,000. What's its? You're getting closer. 58,000 storage unit facilities in the United States of America. Yes, sir.
Just for Europe.
Yeah, 2,400 in Europe, 58,000 in the United States. That's nearly 24 times more storage unit facilities than the entire continent of Europe. Put this in perspective. 58,000 is more than the number of McDonald's, Starbucks, Walmarts, and CVS stores on the entire planet combined. Just in the United States, right? So what do you guys think this says about our culture? Tristan. We have a lot of stuff, too much stuff. We're greedy. Okay, you could say that. What else could it say? We have things we don't need. What else? We're hoarders. Yeah. That's one. Elizabeth. We don't want to let things go. Ooh, that's good. That's my last point of the night, which I already said, because you could let go of the Justin Bieber tapestry to Calissa. Okay. We have a consumption problem. Yeah. So I think many of us have bought into the lie that the things we want are the things that we need. But we don't need the latest phones, or the latest shoes, or the latest game systems. We just want them. And once we have them, we don't want to give them up very quickly, do we? No, we don't. So I'm going to ask, I could ask you guys a story about a time in your life where you let your stuff boss you around, or where you got something that you wanted, but then all of a sudden you were unhappy with and you didn't want to share it or let go, or it changed something in your life. And for me, that thing happened my senior year of high school. Okay. I'll let you know a secret. I was getting my wisdom teeth out. And then I was moving into Butler University in the following August, and I thought, you know what I need? I need a PlayStation. Not a PlayStation 1. I'm not that old. But it was a PlayStation 2, so I am that old, all right? So it was PlayStation 2. I really wanted a PlayStation 2, so I worked really hard to save up money to buy the PlayStation 2, because I needed it for the dorm, because I studied really hard, so I need to play really hard. But I was also getting my wisdom teeth out, right? And what happens when you get your wisdom teeth out? You need to rest and play video games. But what happened to this thing that I thought that I needed, which was really something that I wanted, it actually started to control some of my behaviors. I don't know about you guys, but how many of you guys sometimes are so into a video game that we start to distance ourselves from family members, or actually seeing people face to face, or friends? You don't have to raise your hands, but there are lots of those types of things in our lives where once we get them, they become the precious, right? The ring, right? My precious, yeah. Yeah, and you're all consumed by it, and you don't think that you need anything else. So at that time, my transition from high school to college, I thought I was trying to be the boss of my stuff, but what really actually ended up happening is that I let my stuff become the boss of me. So in this series this summer, so over the next few weeks, we're asking the question, who or what is the boss of me? Now, the first week that we started this study, we talked about the tendency to want to be the boss of me, and how that tendency often leads us into trouble when we begin to worship the God of me. And this week, we're going to talk about a second idol that we end up worshiping when we let it be the boss of us. Okay? Can anybody guess what idol I have under this bucket right here? You guys know what it is? Grant thinks he knows. Katie thinks she knows. Jonathan, what do you think, Jonathan? Oh, it's not. It was my bobblehead. And by the way, if anybody borrowed my bobblehead, I don't know where it's at now, so give it back. I like it. Katie thinks she knows the answer. Katie, you want a steak? $20 on it. Okay. Oh. Guys, that's what I thought she was going to say. So what did I put under here? Not a piggy bank. She owes me $20. All right. But I do have Sam Mayer's hat. There you go, Sam. But thank you for making a very good point. The piggy bank is over here. No, it was Sam's hat. Sam's hat was under there. But the piggy bank was back behind there. So it's all right. I'll put it on your tab. Okay. Sorry, that was a bad trick. You guys are like, AJ, you're the worst dad ever. All right, so we start to let our stuff be the boss of us, our money, our things. And so last month when we first started this, we learned about a word that we really don't hear often outside of the church. What was that word? I've already said it a few times. Anybody other than my wonderful daughter, Katie? I'll give you a hint. Starts with an I. Thomas. Idolatry, yes. Okay, so we're starting to talk about idolatry. We're talking about idolatry all summer long. And so can anyone remind us what idolatry is? What is idolatry? Give me just a definition or a speculation. Yes, Carter. Good job. Did I have that in here? Okay, good job. Great, great answer. That was word for word. Awesome. Idolatry is what we call worshiping any god other than the one true God. Okay? In the days that the Bible was written, most people believed that there were many gods rather than just one. There was a lot of fighting about whose God was best. And often, when things weren't going well for a person or a group of people, you know what they would do? They would abandon that old god and begin worshiping a new god, hoping that their new god would treat them better than the last one. All right? Even the people of Israel The God's chosen people were guilty of this. So, would you all, if you have a Bible, and I hope that you do, and if you do not own a Bible, I would love to give you one, so please come talk to me. Let's flip over to Exodus chapter 32. That's, if you're new to your Bibles, that's the second book of the Bible. And we're going to read verses 1 through 4. And I want you guys to flip there. And I would encourage you guys to bring your paper Bibles each and every week. It's great to make notes in about, you know, main points that God's drawing out. You might see and learn. Studying the Bible, I teach in such a way that's trying to teach you guys how to read the Bible inductively, to do an inductive study of God's Word. So that's why it's important to have your Bibles each week, because the way that I teach is hopefully teaching you guys the way that you can study the Bible on your own. Would someone like to read chapter 32, verses 1 through 4 for me? Who would like to read? Eleanor, can I give you a microphone? I can, and I am. Thank you.
1 through 4?
1 through 4.
Okay. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." So Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hands and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt."
All right. So we see in Exodus, right? While Moses was on the mountain getting a message from God, the people of Israel had already decided, God was taking too long, so we'll just go worship a new God now. So when Moses came down from the mountain to present the Israelites with the Ten Commandments, do you remember the very first thing on the list? Yeah, you shall have no other gods before me. Let's look at chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. Exodus 20, 1 through 3. And God spoke all these words, saying, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Verse 3. "You shall have no other gods before me." Ironic, huh? Right? Ironic. While he is receiving the Ten Commandments, of which the first is not to have any other gods before me, he's taking too long. So the Israelites say, "What are we going to do?" "We're going to make other gods." Right? They didn't want to wait on God, so they made their own gods. So now we know what the Israelites were doing while this all was happening. Now, again, I mentioned in our first week of this study that the word "before," so you shall have no other gods before me, when translated, does not have to do with order or rank. God is not saying that it's okay to worship a bunch of other gods as long as he, Yahweh, is the first. That is not what he is saying. God is saying we are to have no other gods, period. He is telling his people to worship only him, the one true God, and definitely not any imaginary golden baby cow gods, right? What they made for themselves. I'm guessing you've never literally created your own idol out of your mom's jewelry and worshiped it. But if you're like most people, and I think that you are, I think that you have more in common with the people of Israel than you might think, because I know that I do, and I know that I'm not the only one. Many years after the golden calf incident, there was a man who was listening to Jesus teach. The man called out to Jesus, and here's what he said. We're going to flip over to Luke, New Testament, Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. If anybody is there, will you read the heading of this section and then read verse 13 as well? I'm going to go with Katie this time. I got you next time. Luke 12, 13. Okay, Elizabeth. Oh, okay. Luke 12, 13. Elizabeth, I'm going to go with you this time. Luke 12:13. The parable of the rich fool. And then what does 13 say? Okay. You guys catch this first part? Let's stop right here. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher," just before this, acknowledging Christ before men, he's teaching. All of a sudden, this guy just says, "Hey, Jesus, can you tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me?" Right? We can already see that this man has given his stuff or his desire for stuff a lot of authority in his life. He has let it come between him and his own brother. Heather, will you make sure that they're okay? I don't know. It's just Tristan and Mara. Okay, they're okay. All right, I just want to make sure everything was okay. Wow, it's already 7:24. I told you I was going to teach a long time. All right, but that was mostly a game. All right, so this guy, he has got a stuff problem. Have you ever gotten into a fight with a friend or a loved one over someone's stuff? Have you? What happened? Can you share? Grant. Almost lost a friendship. What was the stuff? A Lego mat? A Lego. Okay. Oh, wow. True story. I just talked to Max Young today, who graduated a couple years ago. College students are still into Legos. He spent they're still into Legos, by the way. They had a whole Lego night in his dormitory at Purdue, and they bought thousands of dollars worth of Lego sets, and then they just all put them together. That's what your money goes to when you go to public university. All right. So anybody else get into a fight with a friend or a loved one over some of your stuff? Yes, Brooke. Oh, someone wears your clothes. Oh, yeah, that's bad. All right. So let's look. Continue to look at Luke chapter 12, verses 14 through 21. And I'll just go ahead and read if that's okay. Luke 12, 14 through 21. So Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all." Thank you. Shh. "Take care and be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and I will build larger ones. And there I will store all of my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" That's powerful. That's a powerful message right there from Jesus. According to Jesus, the riches, the possessions, the stuff that we store up for ourselves is what? Caleb. Filthy rags, yeah. Or what were you going to say, Sam? Were you going to say anything? You're just waving or raising. Worthless. Right? These things are worthless. We can spend our lives trying to collect more and more and more, but when we come to the end of our lives, what will have been the point? You can spend our limited time on earth trying to acquire more stuff, but if today were your last day, is that stuff really what you want your life to have been about? Because can you take it with you? You can't take it with you. Friend of mine, super successful pharmaceutical sales rep, could have spent his money on a lot of things that would have made the world happy. And, you know, you could make just a compliment. And he wasn't falsely humble here, but I'd say, "Oh, man, I like your new car." He's like, "It'll burn." I'm like, "Oh, what do you mean by that?" And he's like, "I can't take it with me, and it'll all burn at the end of time." And so he had this mentality that he was going to invest in things. Bye, Applebee's. See you guys. All right. I'm just making sure everything's okay out there. All right. Okay. So we can try to acquire more stuff, but if today was your last, would you want your life to have been about the pursuit of more stuff? Jesus makes it clear that although the world may teach us to acquire more and more and more, the quality of your life has nothing to do with the stuff that you own. No amount of stuff can ever satisfy you. I want you guys to hear that again. The stuff that you think that this world, that you are entitled to or that you want so badly, it won't satisfy. Even if you had it all, it will not satisfy. It'll leave you craving more. It'll leave you empty. It'll leave you selfish. This is just a lie of Satan. He wants to fill your time with worthless things and fill your pursuits with things that won't last. If he can get you to believe that those are your priorities in life, he's neutralized you. So don't give in to making yourself the God of your own life and making your stuff God over you, right? So what's one way that people try to find satisfaction in their stuff? What's one way that people try to find satisfaction in stuff? Any ideas? Thomas? They buy more, right? Hey, I got, like, you guys would laugh. Like, I've had 2 smartphones in my entire life. One was the first iPhone SE, and the second one was the second iPhone SE, but I think there's like 1,000 other versions of this phone since then. So yeah, always wanting the latest versions of phones or cars. Like, man, the car industry had it so right. They would tweak just like a little bitty thing like once a year and be like, the people that were like car aficionados, they'd be like, well, this one has chrome radio knobs and last year's didn't, so I want the new one. Like, they just would tweak thing year after year. I was reading a book talking about how Henry Ford actually regretted building this mentality into people's lives of just always wanting the newest version of it. At the end of his time, when he had built this incredible empire, he realized, wow, I have changed society to crave more and more and more. Actually, he created a whole little village that was like trying to take us back in time to before he created the modern system of manufacturing. Anyway. Let's flip over to Matthew 16, 24 through 26. This will be the last passage that we look at tonight. Matthew 16, 24 through 26. Okay, what would you do? What do you think Jesus means by losing your soul? So let's read this and think about what this passage means. 24 through 26. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? What do you think it means to forfeit your soul? Carter. Yeah. If we forfeit our soul, if we give it up, right, we have no assurance of salvation. We've certainly not surrendered our souls to Christ. We're forfeiting that. Okay, that's one possible answer. What else do you think it means to forfeit your soul? Speculate. It's okay. It's okay to be wrong. This is a safe place. This is the best place in the entire world to be wrong, because this isn't like a no judgment zone. So we can be wrong all the time. Yes. Yes, definitely. We trade our souls for, like, in our morality for money or things and acquiring it. Does anybody else have something that's similar or different? Caleb. Other idols for sure. Elizabeth. Yeah, just like the Israelites who built their own God when they were tired of waiting for the real God to come through, we often turn to our stuff as a way to find fulfillment, peace, meaning, and significance, but it never works. It never works. And so we could gain everything there is to gain in the world, but if our deepest desire is simply to gain more, we'll continue to be empty and unsatisfied because no amount of stuff can satisfy. So what can we do? How can we break away from worshiping the God of stuff? The answer may be simpler than you think. Last month, we say we can defeat the God of me when we give up our seat and we put God in that seat. Today's idea is similar. We defeat the God of stuff by letting go of our things. It's that simple, but it's also that difficult. We defeat the God of stuff by letting go of our things. So you guys might not own barns or storage units full of grain or other stuff, or recently inherited your father's entire estate, but you do have some stuff that you can call your own. Just because you're not a millionaire doesn't mean that the conversation doesn't affect you. Because it does. You don't need to be rich to worship the God of stuff. You may not have a house or a car or a steady income right now, but if you have something, and someday, but you do have something, and someday you're going to have more, probably. And that's why it's so important to talk about this right now, when the stakes are pretty low, so that you can develop the kind of habits and attitudes towards your stuff that will help you stay in a right relationship with your stuff, the kind of relationship where you can own stuff, but your stuff won't own you. So how would you guys describe your relationship with stuff right now? All right. In what ways do you think that you have a healthy relationship with your stuff or your lack of stuff? That's a hard question, but it's one that I want to chew on for a little bit with you guys. Well, what ways do you think you have a healthy relationship with your stuff? I'll give you an example. This is not being proud, but like we have two decent vehicles. And one way that I have a healthy relationship to one of our vehicles right now is we gave it to a friend for the summer. It's because they're here visiting from another country, and so they didn't have a vehicle. So if I was like, oh man, but this is like my favorite minivan, which I would never say, but my favorite minivan of all times, I never want to see it get a scratch on it or anything like that. Like, you know, I would be holding that van more closely than I value a relationship or a friendship or helping someone. So, I mean, like, but that's like one healthy thing, but I'm sure there's a lot of unhealthy things. Do you guys have any examples of things that where you feel like you have a healthy relationship with your stuff? Yes, Heather. Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah. Hospitality is a big one. And then all of you guys are like, hey, don't own a house yet. Well, hey, some of you guys are going to graduate someday from high school and you might go to college or you might not go to college, and whatever you decide to do, I pray the Lord leads you in that. But you're going to have a place someday. And so you guys can still make it a habit now to invite people into your home and use your home for ministry, not saying, I just love my peace and quiet so much, I don't want anybody to intrude upon it or mess up my stuff or spill a drink on the floor or whatever. Yeah. So that is definitely one way. Any other ideas? Having a healthy relationship with your stuff. Yeah, Josh. That's very utilitarian, you said, very Dave Ramsey-ish, right? When you need a car, you can get from point A to point B in a actually, it's hard to find a $2,000 car anymore. I mean, it just is. But you can get around for a while until you can save enough money to sell that one and buy a new one. But, like, yeah, buying a car that gets you where you need to go instead of buying one that's your dream car. Because what happens when sometimes you buy your dream car? What do you want? It gets scratched, or? Okay, it's not good enough, or? Kid throws up in the car, third day. It happens. Luke. Tesla runs out of battery. Elena. Okay, that's where I wanted to go with it. It's not bad to have a new car, but I have seen plenty of people that allow their dreams to then now become what enslaves them, because yes, they have what they dream of, but now they also have to work 1,000 hours a week. There's not even 1,000 hours in a week in order to pay for that, right? We become slaves to our stuff sometimes. Again, new cars, not a bad thing. No, but being enslaved to them, that's something that I would encourage you guys to steer clear of if at all possible. What about having an unhealthy relationship with stuff? In what ways do we have unhealthy relationships?
Why is that?
Because you like money. Tithing, giving to God is hard because I like looking at my account and seeing that there's a nice cushion there in case there was something really cool that came up, I could buy it. That can be hard, right? What else do we have? How else do we have unhealthy relationships with our stuff? Katie and then Josh.
Okay. That was a great answer. Yeah. You really love shopping. That's just a fun experience, right? But then there's this level of, okay, do I have the money? Do I have a job? Do I have income? Am I content with what I have, or do I really need something, or do I want something? That's kind of where some of that unhealthy comes down to what we were originally talking about. Josh, you said you had one, and then, yes, we'll go one more. Thank you, Josh. How many of you guys have ever dreamed of buying a fancy toaster? Okay, we have a couple. Fancy toaster. What makes a toaster fancy? Sorry, I'm on a tangent here, but. Oh, did you guys catch that? Darth Vader's face burnt on the toast. Gold-plated, okay. All right, what's unhealthy relationship? Which is ironic that as I was walking up and you're watching your phone. Yes, oh my goodness, that is something that I even felt convicted of this week too. Like with this wanting a bike really bad, I kept looking at Facebook Marketplace because I want to buy a used one. Anyway, and so you know, I'm always like checking these things and I'm like, no, I just need to put that away and focus on the people that are in front of me. Okay. So how do you know when you're worshiping the God of stuff? Okay, they're in your notes on the backside. When you prioritize stuff over people, when you always want more stuff, when you're hesitant to share your stuff, and when you find your identity in your stuff. And so my guess is if you're honest, maybe you struggle in one of these areas, maybe you struggle in all four, I don't know. But what do you do if you fear that you've been worshiping the God of stuff? All right. What was it Elsa? What did she say? Let it go, let it go. Yeah. Right? You give, this is radical people, and God calls us to be radical people, right? You've figured out, oh my goodness, Lord, you've opened my eyes to the fact that I have allowed stuff to become a God for me. How do I begin to combat that? Give some stuff away. If you've got a Justin Bieber tapestry, Calissa will gladly take it off your hands, right? Give your stuff away that you don't need. Don't hoard it. Buy more stuff for other people. Buy less stuff for yourself. Grace Spray is one of my favorite people. I'm not trying to steal a crown from you in heaven, but man, this girl loves to buy stuff for other people. I mean, that doesn't mean you're now all need to become her best friend because she'll buy you stuff. But she is so generous, and I love it, and it means so much to me. She set a good example for me, and I'm like way older than you, and I'm just thinking, thank you. Thank you for teaching me a valuable lesson in realizing that people are more important than money. So it's okay to buy stuff for other people. And I love that. And so that's one way that you can practice giving your stuff away. I want you guys to think of ways that you can practically spend more of your money on others instead of yourself this week. And think about ways that you can practice buying less for yourself this week. There are a lot of examples out there. Probably you guys have heard of many of them, of people that are your age that are making a difference and trying to say, hey, I realize materialism is a big deal in our culture. I'm going to go counter to that, and I'm going to use that to promote a good cause, right? The Uniform Project, if you look it up online, there's a cool video. This gal was saying, hey, I'm going to raise money for schools in India she was like a fashion student in New York. She said, I'm going to wear the same dress for like 90 days. She did it like differently. I mean, she washed it, but like she would like doll it up with like a scarf or a hat. But like same. So anyway, it went viral. And she sent like 180 some thousand kids to school in India because of this fundraising event. It was just one of them. So her name was Sheena, Uniform Project. You can look it up. She was challenging the limiting of her own stuff so that she could give others what they so desperately needed. So I don't know how God might be calling you to respond to this conversation today, but I hope that you're listening. Our relationship with our stuff is so powerful. It has the ability to really help or to really harm us. It can hurt and harm others in the world around us. So this week, as we close, it is my prayer that for you, you would allow God to help you discover what it means to have a right relationship with your stuff, that you would let him help you own your stuff, so that it won't be owning you. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We're thankful for tonight that we're able to look at just a few of dozens, if not hundreds, of scriptures of talking about not clinging to the things of this world. And Lord, one of the reasons we do that as believers in Christ, for those that are here tonight that put their faith in you as Lord of their life, as Savior of their life, we know ultimately that earth is not our home, not our final destination, that we get to spend eternity in your kingdom as a child of the one Almighty God, in your presence, worshiping you day after day after day, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Lord, we are so excited about that day. And so let us be focused on things above, not on earthly things, and help us to rid ourselves of idolatry in our lives as we continue the study this summer. I just pray that it's transformative, not just informational. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, we've got about 15 minutes or so. If you would, please help me stack all the chairs over here, and then after that 15-minute, well, after we're done stacking stuff up, y'all are free to go play nine square in the back. I've got a volleyball up here. But you can also head to the DeHoffs. So anybody that's riding with me, we're going to leave in about 8 minutes, okay? We're going to leave in about 8 minutes.